Hello, beautiful. This is Reverend Jennifer Hadley, and the recording you're about to listen to is part of the Living a Course in Miracles teleclass. Our intention in offering this class is to give you clear tools and practices that you can use to align with love every day in every area of your life. No one can do your healing for you. You must decide to choose love in every moment to the very best of your ability. Remember, miracles occur naturally as expressions of love. Intend to live a miraculous life of love and share the benefits of your healing and your expansion with everyone because you're one with them. Please pause the recording before the class starts and write down your intention in listening to the class. Partner up with your own higher Holy Spirit self. And please go to jenniferhadley.com for more tools and practical loving support every day. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the class.
Welcome, everyone. I'm Jennifer Hadley, and our teacher this week is David Fishman, also popularly known as Dove Fishman. And David has been a teacher of A Course in Miracles for many years, for decades, and is the founder of the One Mind Foundation, and he has operated the ACIM Gather program, which I'll ask him about later, and the Awakening Together Sanctuary. And this is beautiful work. I'm excited to introduce you to it, because those of you who are interested in deepening your experience of A Course in Miracles and participating with others, I think you'll get a lot out of the things that David offers. So I'll be asking him later in the class about that. And our topic today is living the truth. I'll be doing a homework class on this topic that David's chosen for us, Living the Truth, tomorrow. And so we're going to open that class in just a moment here. But first, as always, I like to begin with a prayer. So thank you for joining us, David.
Thank you so much for having me, Jennifer. Thank you.
And let's all turn within and have a moment of prayer here, where we join with the higher Holy Spirit self, the Holy Spirit. We take this breath of love and gratitude together, so grateful and so thankful that love is all that there is and love is all that we are. We're grateful and thankful to consciously attune to the Holy Spirit and make ourselves available for a healing. This is what we're calling forth. We're relinquishing all the blocks to love, known and unknown, felt and not felt. We are grateful and thankful to join together for the purpose of living A Course in Miracles, living the truth. We're grateful that our decision to live the truth, to live A Course in Miracles, brings benefit to everyone because we're one with them. So we consciously share the benefits of our healing, our expansion, our clarity, and we declare that this time together is a time of healing. It's a time of joyful awakening. And in gratitude, we share the benefits. In gratitude, we allow the healing to be. We let it be. And so it is.
And so it is.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much.
That
was,
yeah,
that was so healing.
I love to pray.
Yes.
It's one of my things.
Yeah. And I actually wish you... Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you go. You go ahead.
I was going to say, it came up for me as you were sharing that prayer, was that we are already joined. In truth, we are joined, and then you reminded us that our only function here is to remove those blockages to the truth that we are joined. I mean, the fact is that we are one, of one mind, and the only thing that seems to give us any doubt on that is our thoughts of separate interests, separate private minds, personal interests, and of course none of that is true, none of it's real. And that's maybe when we call living the truth, it's about remembering the only thing that keeps us from the truth, because we are the truth, is those little things that we still hold on to that aren't true at all. They're completely false. So I just want to share that.
Yes, and I'm compelled to share, before we get deeply into our topic here, the one you chose for us, living the truth. I'd like to share with everybody who's listening who might be hearing you for the first time, David. David has done a number of these Living A Course in Miracles classes with us over the years, and I'm remembering two in particular right now that stand out in my mind. One was about healing. We did a whole series on healing several years ago, and David taught one of those classes. And then a couple of years ago, we did a series on holy relationships, and David, you taught one of those. And so I just want to let people know, if you really feel turned on by what you're hearing from David here today, that we have previous classes with David, and you can check those out at livingacourseofmiracles.com in the store there. So, living the truth, one of the things about A Course in Miracles that I find so helpful is we see in spiritual community or people who are in the self-help movement, they talk about my truth. And one of the things that A Course in Miracles helps us to see is people don't have their individual versions of the truth. They can make interpretations, but there are not different versions of the truth. Truth is truth, and it applies the same to everyone all the time. So everything works together for our good. There are no exceptions. And it's the making exceptions that becomes that slippery slope where now we're lost in the weeds. And I'm wondering, David, just to start with, this is perhaps an unfair question, but I'm going to ask it anyway because I feel guided. How do we know the truth from what's false?
Good question. If you're at peace and you're smiling and you see all is perfect, that to me would be reflective that you're in this experience of oneness. You know, the Course speaks about oneness a lot. It actually says that's what heaven is the experience of oneness. Oneness means that there is no opposite. What is all encompassing has no opposite. So truth really has no opposite. It isn't that there's something that is what is true and what is false. In that famous paragraph 7 of Lesson 189, I feel the love of God within me now. It says, simply do this, be still. Do not take with you one thought that you ever had of what you are or what God is. Nothing you ever thought was true or good or bad or right. Nothing you ever thought was false or ashamed of. So it's really about emptying our minds of concepts. And at one point in the Course it says, salvation, which only salvation can be said to cure, salvation can be said to be an escape from all concepts. And I know the word to escape all concepts doesn't seem to be, you know, possible, because the mind does, the mind that we do use does use concepts to kind of trying to learn something. You know, I know what the Course is saying because it's filled with concepts and I learned all the concepts. But at some particular point he actually says, forget this world, forget this Course. He's asking you to kind of empty the mind of all the things that you think you needed to learn to know the truth. The truth cannot be learned. The truth is, we are what truth is. We are the oneness, the peace of God. God doesn't create symbols or concepts or anything. He's the author of peace. So in the lesson 185 says, all I want is the peace of God. He says, you know, say these words is nothing, is meaningless, but to mean it is everything. But we are the peace of God. It isn't that you have to learn anything for the truth. We are the truth. But that truth is equal for all, exactly as you say, love makes no exceptions. And that's a line for us from the Course. And as you're aware, because you're a participant in the next Course in Miracles conference, that's the theme of the next conference. Love makes no exceptions. All are included equally. And I think that word equally, you know, is a very important word, because it says the key to the kingdom, or the key to truth, or the key to what you are, is peace. But it says peace has one condition, and that condition is equality, that this is true for all. This is the. Mm-hmm. It's impossible that truth can be true for only the people who do the Course in Miracles and no one else. So, you know, I always say our purpose here is to awaken from this dream of forgetfulness. But just as important as my purpose is to wake up from this dream of forgetfulness, to remember what I am and who I am as God created, as love created, is to remember that that is the purpose that everyone here, whether they ever heard of Jesus, they ever heard of the Course of Miracles, it doesn't really matter. Everyone's mm-hmm. here for the same purpose, is to remember the truth of what we are, and the truth is one for all.
Indeed. That for me is so helpful, David, because when I start thinking that there are different truths for different people, then I can see that my mind is going to start to feel disturbed. I'm going to start to feel agitated, irritated, frustrated, delusional. And the opportunity to course correct is always there throughout our day. And that's how we learn to live the truth, right?
Yes. It's a matter of stepping back. And as you said, if you think it's truth is different for different people, then what happens is we become defensive. We want to defend our way of looking at it. And if I'm defending my way, then there's another way, which it means that there's something outside of me. And I think that's one of the most important ideas that the Course gives you. I think it's in Chapter 18, Section 6, the very first sentence. It says, there is nothing outside of you. This is what you must ultimately learn. And I saw that line when I first started the Course many moons ago, and I remember saying, oh, this is what I must ultimately learn. Many years went by, and just recently, it came to me, what do you mean, this is what I must ultimately learn? It's true right now. There's nothing outside of you. The thought that we have separate interests, that there's separate entities, there's separate this and separate that, that's the blockages to the truth. It is the idea that we have separate interests. And notice that in the manual for teachers, when I think it's in Section 1, who are God's teachers? And he says, you know, the only requirement is that you see that your interest and your brother's interest is not different. We share the same interest. Once you recognize that, you are a teacher of God. It doesn't say anything about, mm-hmm. you know, how many lessons you have to do or how many years. But it's seeing that you share the same interests, that we share the same mind, which is the mind of God.
Now, when someone has the sense of, for instance, what just is popping into my mind, we can say, well, what about the terrorist has totally different interests than me? Or,
well,
the, you know.
Well, actually, yeah, the idea of the terrorist, you know, Jesus says in the Course in Miracles that there is a murderer in all of us, and of course that's right out of the Course in Miracles. And of course, what's not love is murder. He says that what's not love is murder. And of course, murder is just another word for a judgment. As soon as you judge your brother as anything, you have murdered them off, literally, because you have seen him as different. I remember John Mundy, one of our beloved brothers and teachers, who basically said, you know, there's a terrorist in all of us. And the terrorist is just someone who sees that he has a different interest than others, and he's going to fight for his interest. You know, I'm thinking of members of the mafia who are so proud that they will kill anyone for the good of their family. So a terrorist or anyone who basically says, well, you know, anyone who doesn't believe in my religion, you know, is someone who is an infidel, and you know, but basically that's not any different than a lot of religions. No matter what religion you grow up in, somehow, if you're not practicing a certain thing, you're going to go to hell. I mean, you know, to say that I'm going to heaven and my brother's going to hell, that's pretty much terrorism right there. I mean, the people say, hey, you know, because you don't follow these rules and laws, well, you know. You're going to burn in hell. That's the same thing, literally. It does come from that very famous line in the Course, projection makes perception. Well, you know, of course, the world you see, even though you don't like to see a terrorist out there doing these things, but what is the world? He tells you, what is the world but your own thoughts projected out on the screen? You know, if we see that people are different from us in any way, that they're a different religion, a different path, a different this, different whatever, nationality, and we stick up for, you know, like for only for our country and our religion and our path, and, you know, if you don't do the Course in Miracles, at least the book that I'm reading from, if you're reading another Course in Miracles version, I'm not even interested in you. That happens right within the Course community, as you know, Jennifer.
Yeah, it sure does. And it's interesting. We experience some interesting dichotomies. And as you know, the foundation of Course in Miracles really is practicing non-judgment and being compassionate. Really extending love is the way to our freedom and the way to really living the truth. And that's the most challenging thing of all. And what's coming into my mind right now, David, is you've had some adventures in this lifetime in terms of living the truth. And I think one of the most challenging things for people is when they have really in your face life experiences where there's a health challenge with a person or a family member, there's an intense relationship challenge and divorce or the death of a loved one or the a loved one who's addicted to something that's self-destructive. These kinds of life challenges, when they're coming up and confronting us, and it feels so challenging, how do we actually live the truth and not go into managing and coping and not be, because sometimes Course in Miracles students, it can seem like they're airy-fairy. Like they're not really, you know, they're no good, no earthly good because they're so airy-fairy. You know, their mind is just saying everything is good when people are in great despair and suffering.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we live the truth when we're feeling so challenged?
Yeah, well, I think you use a very good word, compassion. You know, compassion, which is basically a part of what love is, to have compassion, to actually love rather than to fight. You know, I'm not sure if you remember, I did go through a bout of cancer back in 2013. That was 3 years ago. And when I was diagnosed and I was told, I got a couple of really, I heard Marianne Williamson, who also had something the same. And she says, you know, don't fight your cancer, love your cancer. That's pretty much something that people remember from Marianne. And I had a next door neighbor who works at one of the leading cancer hospitals right here in New York, Sloan Kettering. And she says, you know, David, you're a very strong person. Fight this cancer, fight it. I had an opportunity just like a week or two later to be having dinner with Dr. Brent Haskell. He's the guy who scribes from Yeshua, Journey Beyond Words, the companion book of the Course, and of the Other Voice, companion to the text. I was sitting, and he is an MD, regular medical doctor, and I told him I was diagnosed and going in for treatment, and I said, you know, Marianne says love your cancer, and this other person who is a friend of mine says fight your cancer. What is your thought on it? And he says, I'm definitely with Marianne to love your cancer. So I didn't really know what that was at that particular moment. I didn't know if that meant you send light to the tumor or something like that. But actually, I had the experience in the next 3 or 4 months that you are compassionate with all that you meet. Instead of contracting and going into fear and fighting it, you are as expansive and as extending as you always are on your healthiest day. That you love all the people. I had an opportunity. I was hospitalized twice because after my chemo, my immune system didn't take to it too well. So I found myself in a hospital, and I was surrounded with doctors and nurses and people who were just cleaning up and all that, and seeing them all with the same love and compassion. And it's that love that's in your system. You're opening your mind up. You're extending love. You're not closing down. I happened to be speaking to the head of oncology at Mount Sinai where I was treated, and he saw my book. I have this book, The Open Mind, Loving Yourself. And he said, well, what's that book about? So I started telling him, and he says, oh, you mean mindfulness? And at that time, it was 3 years ago, I didn't really know what mindfulness was. And he started saying what mindfulness, I says, yeah, well, that's the same as the Course in Miracles. You know, just being very here, present, you know, not, and I started speaking to him about, you know, how I really spend my feelings in the present, and I feel, you know, very up to what's going on. He says, yeah, he says when people tighten up and they get rigid and they go into fear, what happens is it's difficult to treat them, because it's much more difficult to treat someone who's in fear than someone who's open to treatment. And you can imagine the truth behind that. The one thing I want to just share at this point, I was in the hospital for 2 or 3 days, and I was getting better every day, meaning that the doctor said, oh, well, you know, your stats are up, your immune system is doubling and tripling. And I said, oh, that's good. So I said to Holy Spirit, you know, I know I'm getting better, but why am I here? What is this for? And I heard very clearly, instantly, the still, quiet voice said, you are perfectly cared for. You are perfectly cared for. And I realized in that moment that I am being perfectly cared for. I have the best doctors, the best everything. I'm being perfectly cared for. And I also realized in that moment I didn't totally trust, or I wouldn't have been asking, what is this for? But, you know, if you totally trust, you accept everything exactly the way it is. So I just want to share that with you.
So I'm so glad that you did share it. I do remember you went through that experience, and I'm so glad that you're talking about it, because people will think, sometimes spiritual students will think that, oh, this illness that I'm manifesting is evidence that I'm not spiritual enough, or I'm being punished, or this is my negative karma coming up. What does the Course in Miracles have to say about these kinds of experiences, and how do we hold them in our mind that nothing bad is happening, everything works together for good, no exceptions? How did you do that?
Well, first of all, I do look at everything is happening for you. Everything is happening for you. That what I got out of that particular experience is exactly what I was saying, that I am perfectly cared for. You know, someone who used to be a teacher at ACIM Gather many years ago, she did go through a bout of cancer, and she was out in California, and she used to go down to the Mexican border, cross the border into Tijuana, and get medical help that I guess is not sanctioned by the FDA here in the United States. And she said to me, you know, can you put me in touch with somebody that I can get some, you know, really, you know, helpful advice? So as it happened, I put her in touch with Dr. Jerry Jampolsky. We all know Jerry. He mm-hmm. actually worked with children who had terminal illness, and they all literally healed themselves. That's documented in that book. I think it's called The Rainbow Book. It actually was done I think the same time he came out with the Love is Letting Go of Fear. But anyway, and she told him her story, what's going on with her, and he said, you know something? It doesn't matter whether you live or die. This is what he said to her. It doesn't matter whether you live or die. What's important is that you remember your purpose for being here, your purpose for being here. So it isn't that we don't all go through challenges, as you say, the ups and the downs, but to remember that my purpose is to heal my mind. It isn't the body needs to be healed. It's the mind that needs the healing, to remember that this is not, I am not a body. The most quoted, often quoted lesson in the Course, quoted 23 times, I am not a body. I am free. I am still as God created me. Yes. So that is our true purpose for being here, to wake up from this dream of I'm a body. And if you think you're a body, then you can have all kinds of thoughts about, well, this shouldn't have happened to me. And of course, all those thoughts are simply reactions, you know. And I don't care if you're doing a course or you're listening to someone from India who's a guru. It's whenever you react to anything in this world, you're making the ego real. You're making the body real. React. I'm always at effect. I'm at effect of terrorism. I'm at effect of cancer. I have to react. I have to defend myself. Whenever we react, we're identifying with being a weak body, not what God created, which is eternal, which is changeless, but that which lives and then dies. So as long as I'm reacting to that, I'm really not in my right mind at that time. The only healing I need is to remember what I am.
Yes, and you know, one of the things I love that you're sharing and what I'm hearing, David, is that fundamental thing about actually living the Course is taking everything as an opportunity to practice willingness.
Yes.
And the harder it is to practice willingness, the more benefit there is if we're willing to be willing.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're triggered and willingness is not in your mind, I know you've been doing this a long time, but if you can remember back when maybe you had a lot more turmoil or agitation in your mind, how did you train yourself to really be so willing?
Okay, that's an excellent question, and you're bringing me back to my roots. I must confess, before I found The Course in Miracles, which was a year after it was published, 2 years before that, I had done this thing with Werner Erhard, which I'm sure you heard of, Est and Werner mm-hmm. Erhard. I did that in 1975, and it's two weekends that most people do, you know, in some hotel ballroom somewhere, and different people get different things out of it. But I must confess, what I got out of it was he does the last Sunday afternoon called The Anatomy of the Ego. And in The Anatomy of the Ego, which is how the ego operates, I got to see that the voice in my head is really not my best friend. I remember that that was my conclusion at the end of that Sunday afternoon as Will went out to dinner. I'm coming down the elevator. I'm saying to myself, the voice that I think is my voice is not really my friend. And of course, I did some graduate courses after that. I took because I figured, my God, you know, I thought that this was the best thing that ever happened. You know, and I took some graduate courses and went on to do a course called the Guest Seminar Leaders Program, which he allows you to lead guest seminars for people who want to know more about it. And I figured, hey, listen, if he lets me lead a guest seminar, he's going to give me a good training. So it was a six-month training. We didn't really know what it was about. But at the end of the training, you could be a guest seminar if you chose to be. And I remember she said, the woman who runs the program, she says, do you want to be a guest seminar leader now? I said, no. She says, well, David, wherever you go, you're going to be a great seminar leader. And little did I know that 2 years later I was going to be invited to lead a group of Course in Miracles, because I had just really discovered the course in '77, and it was New Year's Eve, 1980. I was in John Mundy's home on New Year's Eve, and we meditated on what the '80s was going to be like for us. And at exactly 12 midnight, he says, "Okay, let's party. It's a new decade." And 1 minute after midnight, this gal says, "Why don't we start a Course in Miracles group in my home? And David, why don't you lead it?" Now, I was only halfway through the course at that time, meaning halfway through the lesson book. I never opened up the textbook, ever. And my mind is going, you can't do that. You don't even know what the course is about. You're just getting yourself through the lessons. You haven't finished the lesson book. You never even opened the text. And when you do open up the textbook, you fall asleep on the same page. So even though that was going on in my mind, out of my mouth came, okay, I'll do it. So The word willingness for me is getting your mind out of the way. Literally getting your mind out of the way. In other words, your mind is always going to find a reason for not doing it. Well, I'm not there yet. I'm not ready yet. Ask me next year. I'll finish the lessons first. You know, the mind always comes up with that kind of stuff. But as Jesus says, it's all about willingness. It is, and I can tell you it is all about willingness. He, in that very famous chapter 18, section 4, called The Little Willingness, he says, your understanding is not necessary. Only your willingness is necessary. So, I mean, and he actually says that that's an insult to the ego, because the ego says, well, how can I do anything? I don't understand this stuff yet. You know, I'm trying to wrap my head around it. But that's the ego. The ego says, I'm trying to wrap my head around it. The ego ain't going to ever wrap its head around it. It has no place to start. It has no place to stop. It only wants to learn more. So willingness is, I don't need to learn anything. And of course, in that very helpful prayer that I know that I always say to anyone who wants to teach at ACM Gather, the only prayer you need is, I'm here only to be truly helpful. I'm glad to go wherever he sends me. I do not have to know what to say or what to do. He who sent me will direct me. So it's your willingness to be directed. That's what the whole course is about. That's what trust is about.
It's a matter of practice. What you're saying is so true and so helpful, and it is a matter of practice, because until we practice being willing and have a new experience, a healing experience, that sense, that energetic sense of, I am being led and guided, I am moving from my loving heart versus my analytical mind, it's that experience that really teaches us. And the Course says that we can learn better from joy than from pain. We don't have to learn from pain anymore. And it's flipping that switch to being willing to really learn through joy that is life-changing. Yeah. And Do you have any guidance for us in how we can make that transition?
Yes. Thank you for mentioning we learned by choosing joy over pain. That of course, is that very powerful lesson 190. I choose the joy of God instead of the pain, and I heartily recommend. Notice that follows that lesson 189. I feel the love of God within me now. And he tells you, you know, let go of all those thoughts that fill your mind, of all the things, all those concepts, you know, everything you ever thought was true about you, or anything you were ever ashamed of, anything you ever thought was good or bad or rotten. Let it all go. Hold on to nothing. And the very next lesson, 190, is I choose the joy of God instead of pain. And somewhere in that lesson, it says, you pay a very heavy ransom to live in fear and pain. He says that. You pay a very heavy cost, I use the word ransom, to choose the pain. In looking at today's topic, which is living the truth, and the overall theme, rise and shine, taking spiritual action, I'd like to say, you know, for most people doing the course, knowing the metaphysical principles, you know, after a year or two or three, most people say, yeah, you know, I definitely understand the course, but somehow I'm not experiencing that peace, that joy you speak about. And he repeats that a number of times to us and says, well, you know, as you started at the very beginning, you know, our real function here is to remove those blockages. The peace and the joy is already there. As he says in lesson 12, if you knew what was underneath what you rush in, what the ego rushes in to ride on top of what God has already placed there, you would be indescribably happy. But we put all these other concepts on top of it. And of course, those concepts bring up, well, I'm right, and others are not as right as I am, and I know more, and, you know, knowing more in this world, of course, is the booby prize. It really is. That's a quote from Werner Erhard. Being right in this world is the booby prize. Jesus says it 3 or 4 times in the course. Do you want to be right, or do you want to be happy? Choose one. You can't have both. You can't have both. So the mind says, well, I'm right. So those things that we're right about are simply our defense against the truth. And I think one of the most powerful lessons, 135 and 136, basically says, you know, if I defend myself, I'm attacking myself. That's the longest lesson in the course, 25 paragraphs long. And 7 of those paragraphs, from 11 through 17, is do not plan. A healed mind doesn't plan. But all of our, you know, what I'm going to say, or what I'm going to plan to say to this person after they hurt me, or, you know, or how I'm going to get back and get revenge, all those plans is the ego clouding our mind with, well, you're all alone, you're separate and apart, and you better do this for yourself, because there is no God's going to come and help you. So that's a concept, that I'm separate, I'm alone, and I got to do for myself. And notice the next paragraph, paragraph 18, says, what could you not accept if you but knew that everything that seems to happen to you, everything that seems to happen, all events, past, present, and even to come, is gently planned for you by one whose only purpose is your good. So what gets in the way is our not accepting what's happening, but as a matter of fact, we are resisting, and it's the resistance that's the pain. When we can't accept it and we come up with our own defense, the defenses are really our thoughts, the thoughts that cloud our mind and say, well, I should have said this, I could have said that, and if he didn't do that, I wouldn't have done this. Those are all our defenses against the truth. If the mind was completely still, you would be defenseless. And, of course, we know in our defenselessness, our safety lies. I don't have to come up with any defenses. That's 153. in my defenselessness, my safety lies. And notice the next lesson is, I am among the ministers of God, 154. And then he tells you exactly how to do it, 155. Let me step back and let him lead the way. So if it's okay with you, maybe, which I think would be very helpful to your listening audience, and maybe something you can work on as we continue this into the next class, I have a meditation. It's a very short one. It'll take about 5 minutes, and
great.
If it's okay, I would say to all who are listening to kind of like sit back and kind of relax yourself and just take a deep breath and let it out and take another breath and just get into your most relaxed state of mind. And notice that the Course says only the love is real, that all there really is love. Anything else is fear. But if we're not experiencing that love, I'm not experiencing the love of God, I must be somewhere in fear. So I'm going to take you into a process that's leaving you to be with the Holy Spirit, your higher self, and you're going to ask your higher self, what is it that I do to push love away? What do I do to push love away? Now, we all have our own defense mechanisms, and what's true for me is going to be different for you. So why don't we just take about 2-3 minutes, and I'll just count down and leave you in a place where you're just with the Holy Spirit. And ask, what is it that I do to push love away? Okay? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Be very willing to have the Holy Spirit speak to you. The Holy Spirit will tell you exactly what it is that you need to hear. And just your willingness is necessary, nothing else. Okay, time to come back into the room. And, you know, some people may have gotten something. And I just want to say, even if you got nothing, this is a process you can always do with yourself at any time. And I know it works. It comes from your sincerity to know what defenses that you use to push away the truth. I can speak about something that happened to me just today, that basically I realized that, you know, I have a foundation that gives out some money, because people donate some money to the foundation. We have a very, it seems to be a fund that is limited, it's not a lot, and we always give as well as we can. And sometimes I notice some people just keep coming back asking for the same thing, and they say, you know, I really love you, and my thought is that when they say that, well, they really want something from me. that when they say they really love me, that do I really trust they love me, or that they want something from me? So that's something that I put in the way. That's something that I put in the way of people loving me, is I think that maybe they want something from me. So each of us has something there that we put in the way of experiencing the love of God. You know, well, because if you're coming from limitation or lack, I know that you, Jennifer, speak a lot about this in all of your teachings. When you come from limitation or lack, there's always fear. You know, lack is, as far as I'm concerned, the root of all fear. So we hold back, we tighten up, we pull back. We're not open. We are closed. So, you know, if something came up for you, maybe you share it in class to come up, or maybe something didn't come up for you, but it's always okay. You know, after class, after this class, you can maybe try it again this evening, after dinner, whatever, or whenever you have some open time. So I just want to share that, and I hope maybe something came up for the people that are listening.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, for me, something came up, which is being of service. Being of service can even be a block to love if I'm focused on doing rather than being.
Focus on doing. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Focus on doing rather than being. Thank you. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, because that's a constant thing that comes up. We get so focused on the doing, that because we have a sense of accomplishment. It's like, it's a very common thing for spiritual students where we think, well, okay, I could do spiritual practice and connect with spirit and let go of blocks to love for a half an hour here, or I could get a load of laundry done and clean up the kitchen and run to the store and get the groceries for dinner for tonight. What will I choose to do? And we choose to do what's going to make us feel a sense of accomplishment.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we're in the ego.
Yeah, the doingness, as you say, is always really of the ego mind. The Course makes a big point out of it. The being and the having are the same. When I'm being what I am, I already have everything. The ego says, no, you have to do something in order to have. So we're into the doing in order to have, so we can finally be what we are. And of course, the Course tells you that's upside down. Of course, the world is upside down. And we already have everything. He tells you the same thing in that famous lesson 133. I will not value what's valueless. What's valuable belongs to me. And then the ego says, no, I want to get the things that happen in this world, the things that begin in time and end in time, and maybe something that someone else has that I don't have. And of course, that's always the belief that there are differences, the belief that I don't have something that's in this world. That kind of brings up lesson 128. There's nothing in this world I want. Lesson 128. But there is a world beyond this world that I want. And then finally, lesson 30. It's impossible to see two different worlds. It's impossible to see two different worlds. So as long as you think you want things in this world, your sincerity to want the truth is really not there. You have to really look to see if you really love the truth. There's some people say, I don't care about anything. I just want to know what the truth is. I'm sick and tired of doing the same thing over and over with the same result. What is the truth? And if you have real desire, and I think he tells you that in lesson 131 too, no one can fail who seeks to find the truth.
Yes.
He tells you the same thing in lesson 107. Truth will correct all the errors of my mind. So if you're really sincere about truth, truth will be given to you for sure. But if you're doing the Course in order to have a better life, a better partner, a better this, a better that, or more of this and more of that, that's really not what truth is. Truth has nothing to do with the doingness. It has everything to do with the beingness.
Right. So it's being rather than getting.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Beingness, of course, is oneness. You know, I am one. I and the Father are one. It's, you know, there's nothing outside of oneness. There's nothing outside of me. This is what I must ultimately learn. Well, when do I want to learn it? Next year? There's nothing outside of me. And everything is for me. Everything is for me. And everything happens perfectly. What can you not accept?
And you know, the thing is people have such a strong belief or attachment to the idea that happiness comes from situations, circumstances, relationships, experiences. And it's just people are so convinced that these are the things that are going to make them feel safe and fulfilled and happy. How do we move from that delusion to really experiencing the happiness?
Well, there is a word that is in the middle of this course that kind of focuses on what we have done to ourselves. Remember, the secret of salvation is I do this to myself. And the last unanswered question, chapter 21, section 7. You know, I like to, whenever Jesus says the final lesson or the last unanswered question, you know, so I kind of say, well, okay, what's the last unanswered question? And he starts off that line. He starts off that line, and I always like to laugh because I know he's laughing when he says it. He says, hey, brother, can't you see that all of your misery, in other words, all of your unhappiness, all of your pain, comes from your strange belief that you are powerless, that you're a victim, that you're helpless? And then he gets down to what the last unanswered question is. He says, don't ask all those other easy questions like, do I want the peace of God? Because he says, of course you can say, I want the peace of God. But to say it doesn't mean anything. As soon as someone hangs up on you or rejects you or says the wrong thing to you, you don't want the peace of God. You want to get even. He says, no, the last unanswered question is, am I willing, a big word, am I willing to see what I denied? Because it's the truth. So in that lesson 190, when he says, I choose the joy of God instead of pain, he tells you exactly why you chose the pain. Because you would deny your Father the joy. You would deny your Father the joy of his Son. So you don't mind the pain. That's the heavy ransom that we actually pay to live in. We would deny our Father the joy of knowing his Son by denying ourselves. It's called self-denial. And he tells you in chapter 7, section 7, in the very first paragraph, he says, hey, you know, if you deny a brother his blessing, you're denying yourself. And denial is not a small thing. Denial is as total as love is. I know a lot of people figure, well, you know, love is going to save me. You know, all there really is love. But you can deny the love of God. If you, as the Son of God, whose mind is as powerful as the mind of God, if you say, I deny what I am, in other words, I don't want to know what I am, and I don't want God to know what I am, I'll make something else separate from God, and I'll be special and different, and I'll show him. I'll be right. Make God wrong. Make Jesus wrong. I'm right. When we do that, we denied ourselves. That's where the pain and the resistance comes from. It's the total opposite of self-acceptance, self-love. There's a line in the Course, one of my favorite lines, text chapter 13, section 7. It says, the world that you see must be denied, for the sight of it is costing you a different kind of vision. you cannot see both worlds, for each of them involves a different kind of seeing and depends on what you cherish. The word cherish there for me is the key word. It depends on what you value. If you're valuing the things of this world, you're going to be using the body's eyes and the body's ears and the body's brain to figure it all out on how you can get the things that you value. But if you cherish the truth, if you value the truth, the things of this world won't make a difference to you. It's a different kind of vision. You're not using the body's eyes anymore. You're using your spiritual vision. And your spiritual eye, by the way, in the Ur text, the original dictation between Jesus and Helen was not the word Holy Spirit. It was spiritual eye. Your spiritual eye is the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, I'm not. I never have been called to look at the Ur text, but I think that's one of the most helpful things I've ever heard. Just say that again, David.
Yes, I want you to know. I was brought up on the FIP edition, and I had it for 25 years before I ever saw anything from the Ur text. And when I went through the Ur text very lightly, the only thing that I came up with is the same thing that you just said. You know. Outside of the word Holy Spirit and spiritual vision, it's really the same thing. But I said, gee whiz, if he said spiritual vision at the very beginning, it would have been a lot easier for me. But, of course, I use the word Holy Spirit all the time, which is fine. But the original word was spiritual, your spiritual eye. Your spiritual eye is the Holy Spirit. So you're not using the body's eyes, you're using your true vision, Christ's vision, your holy vision, which there's a whole section on it in the final chapter. You're either seeing the spirit or you're seeing the flesh. If you're seeing the flesh, you're seeing what the body's eyes see because you're identifying with the body. And if you're seeing spirit, you know, when Jesus is talking to you in the Course, he's not talking to you as a body, really. He's talking to the mind of God. That is one with all. He's talking to the Son of God and that spirit. He's not talking to the identity. Of course, the Course can be called, the only problem, if there is such a thing as a problem, is an identity problem. If I identify with being this body that's born, lives, and dies, well, the Course is going to seem like a lot of symbols and words and concepts. I know the concepts, but I'm not experiencing the joy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I appreciate this discussion because one of the things I was saying in an earlier class in the series that I say all the time is that I say higher Holy Spirit self, because many times Course in Miracles students will speak of the Holy Spirit as though the Holy Spirit is separate from them.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. I think that's where Ken Wapnick was very helpful. He says, you know, the whole idea of the Holy Trinity, even though the Course mentions the Trinity, but he mentions it the same as it's telling you a story within the ego framework so that you can begin to understand the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But he says it's all one. What is one is one. It's not two or three. What is one is one. It's not two.
And for me, this is so practical in terms of living the Course that, because I know, I one time when I first started hanging out with David Hoffmeister and he was saying, you know, well, Jesus guided me to do this and Holy Spirit guided me to do that. And I said to him, are they different to you, David? Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and he said, "No, they're not different to me."
Mm-hmm.
And for some people, they can really relate to the guardian angel, but the Holy Spirit might freak them out because it could seem so Catholic or Christian, you know. And for me, I wasn't raised a Christian. No, my grandparents were all Christian. My parents were not. And but I used to have an aversion to Christianity and Catholicism because it, to me it felt like a distortion of the teachings of Jesus.
Yes. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, just, and that's why I love A Course in Miracles so much, because it is the teachings of Jesus by Jesus, and opening our mind to really see that Jesus is saying, I'm not separate from you or from God, and neither are you. And the Holy Spirit is that voice that's always there with you. I am always with you. That again and again, in so many ways, he demonstrates to us the oneness, the oneness, the oneness.
Yes. Yeah. Words, of course, twice removed from the experience, do get in the way. That's part of the words are concepts, and of course, you know, as he says, I, if it's okay with you, I'd like to just, you know, read that section under fear and conflict. He basically is saying that he says the correction of fear is your responsibility. When you ask for release from fear, you're implying that it is not, but you should be asking instead for help in the conditions that have brought the fear about. The conditions always entail a willingness to be separate. So words, notice words have different meanings. And we give meanings to words, and as you were just mentioning, you know, I always like to say lesson one and lesson two is really the whole course. Once you recognize what he's saying in the course, lesson one, nothing I see here means anything, but just in case you have a problem with that, I don't, but just in case you have a problem, so what do you mean nothing here means anything? He says, well, go on to lesson two. If anything has a meaning, remember, you're the one that's given all the meaning to it. And yes, I have the same stuff going on. Originally, when I first started this course with the word Holy Spirit, it was very Christian, and I said, well, you know, what does that got to do with me? You know, I'm not Christian, and, you know, what does that got to do with me? But after a while, after about 15 years, and I've been doing the course for over 35 years now, after 15 to 20 years, I got very used to, of course, I use the word Holy Spirit as the word friend. You know, he's my friend, you know. But he's my mighty companion, you know. But actually, in truth, the Holy Spirit is us. The Holy Spirit is us. There's only one. There's not two.
Yes. Yeah, and so for me, being able to think of the Holy Spirit or the higher self not being separate from me, but being my right mind.
Yes, yeah. Well, when you receive that still, quiet, peaceful voice that says you're perfectly cared for, that's you who is perfectly caring for you, that you are safe at home. Maybe dreaming that you're in exile, but you are perfectly cared for.
Mm-hmm.
An idea cannot leave its source.
Indeed. Well, before we close out here, because we're coming up on our time, David, let me just ask you, would you just tell us a little bit about ACIM Gather and how people can participate. And as we were talking about before our class started, the Community Miracle Center has become involved. I just love that you've become a joint venture. So, because I think a lot of people might like to participate.
Okay, thank you so much. The ACIM Gather has a platform on the internet. It's in a platform called paltalk.com, and paltalk is just a platform where there are many different classes or rooms, and anyone can actually open up a room there, but we've had one since the year 2004. The original idea of ACIM Gather was to allow people, when it says, I am among the ministers of God, to actually, exactly as you said earlier, to practice being a teacher of God, because that's where you develop trust. And I think this whole course can actually come down to the idea to have total trust in what you are, to have the certainty, the total trust, not 99% trust where I'm still hanging on to, I got to plan things. have total trust that, to know that everything is given to you. And when it says in Lesson 155, let me step back and let him lead the way, as you develop trust that you are among the teachers of God, and that every word, every thought, as it says in the final lesson, is given to you, that you don't have to really, I don't have to know what to say or what to do. It's all given to me. But it does take practice. So ACM Gather was created for that purpose. And out of that, we've had some of the most brilliant teachers who have now gone on to be teachers of many other teachers, people like Lisa Natoli, who you've had on your program, Regina Dornakis, mm-hmm. who you've had on. They all started at ACIM Gather many, many years ago, but they both started the same year in 2005. So as you develop trust in listening to this voice who's speaking to you and through you, whether you call it the Holy Spirit whatever you call it, you begin to realize, like, of all the things I had to do today, the one thing I didn't have to ever think about was being on this phone call with you, Jennifer, because mm-hmm. I know that every word is given to me. It's just the total trust that you need know nothing. So, you know, that does take practice, and that's the purpose of ACM Gather. I also have, those people can reach me very easily. If you're on Facebook, I have a group, we have about 26,000 members now, called Open Minds for ACIM and NTI, which is Regina's Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament. Open Minds for ACIM, you can find me there. I'm under David Fishman. I'm also under Dove Fishman. I'd love to have you as a friend join with me. I do counseling. That's one of the things I do, if anyone. I do counseling really only for course people. I feel that that's where I can do the most good. Basically, between Facebook, the group Open Minds, and ACM Gather, that's pretty much what I'm involved in, and I'd love to meet you.
It's a beautiful gathering. It's a beautiful community, and there's just people can jump in all the time. It's quite remarkable.
Yes. If you're talking about Gather, Lynn Johnson is the director of Gather, along with Rev Tony, who now is using it also for his ordained ministers to teach in, because he wants to give them practice too. So I mean, the whole idea, you aren't teaching anybody anything. I promise you, you're teaching yourself what you most need to learn. It's exactly what it says in the course. You're teaching yourself what you most need to learn, and what we all most need to learn is trust. Trust would settle all issues now, because you're trusting that you are the holy, innocent Son of God himself, that mm-hmm. you are given everything, that you are one with the mind of God, that you live in the mind of God. It takes total trust for that. You can't be at 99%, but practice allows you to experience it. Practice, practice, mm-hmm. practice.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. That's it. That's it right there. And
yeah.
It's joyful to practice. One of the things I know, it's time for us to close out here, but I would like to share with people that I made a switch, and I'll ask you to share what your experience has been, David. I made a switch where it went from practicing was very painful for me, where I kept feeling like, oh, I failed again. Oh, I failed again. Oh, there I am in ego again. Oh, my God. His Holy Spirit guided me. Higher self guided me. Oh, I failed again. I didn't listen. I didn't listen. I didn't listen. Until I started to feel this, oh, I can follow that. Oh, I can listen to that. Oh, I did listen to that. Oh, look how well this is going. Oh, this is miraculous. Oh, my gosh, this is wonderful. Can you just speak to that for a moment before we close out here?
Well, yeah, it kind of sounds like that Zen theme or slogan, fall down seven times, get up eight. It's out of your willingness. It's out of your willingness to rise up, to rise above the battleground, to resurrect. Your mind will will nail you to the cross. Your mind will crucify you. You said you failed, you should have done this, you could have done that, if only this and if only that. And that's always the ego. But your willingness to say, no. I think the word certainty is a big word. While I live in doubt, I'm going to hear those words from the ego, because that's what the ego is. The ego is the voice for doubt. But if I say, no, I am the Holy Son of God, you know, and no one can fail who seeks to find the truth. That's getting up 8 times, even though you fell down 7 times.
Yes. That's it. The light of God can never fail. The love of God can never fail. It's just, it's not possible. We can delay, but we will not fail.
It's that desire to remember the truth, the desire to know the truth, to love the truth. Those were the 3 words given to me in my spiritual rebirth 40 years ago. Love the truth. Love the truth.
Well, I'm going to close this out here with a prayer, and I'd like to thank you, David, for your sharing your experience and your healing and encouraging us to follow this course to this place of greater peace and happiness and ultimate perfect joy. Your decades of experience are so inspiring to me, and I know to others. So thank you, my friend, for joining us once again in the Living A Course of Miracles series.
Thank you so much for having me, Jennifer. Thank you, truly.
Well, I'm going to invite everyone to place their hand on their heart, as I am doing, as we remind ourselves to be wholeheartedly available for that higher Holy Spirit self, the I Am presence, the guardian angel, the Christ light. We are grateful and thankful to join together and to remember the truth that sets us free. We consciously partner up with that higher self, that Holy Spirit. We are grateful and thankful to surrender all blocks to the truth, all blocks to love, anything that has occupied our attention that is false and that does not serve our walk of love. We are grateful and thankful that we can claim our healing. We do claim our healing. We are grateful and thankful for our ever-increasing willingness to learn through joy rather than pain. We are grateful and thankful to give the Holy Spirit all the heavy lifting of figuring out how to have a healing. We are willing to have a healing. It is happening now. We do not have to wait, and we are grateful and thankful to claim it and to accept it. In gratitude, we share the benefits with all beings because we're one with them. In gratitude, we allow the healing to be, and so it is. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, David. And everybody, tomorrow come back and join me for my homework class. And as soon as the audio from this class is ready and available, we will email you and let you know so you don't have to wonder or wander. God bless you, everyone. Mwah.
God bless. Blessings. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This is Jennifer Hadley again. I invite you to remember that your dedication to your life of love is the best gift that you can share with the world. Love is the only healer, and it's always available to you for the asking. Remember, too, that you cannot have that which you're unwilling to share. Share the love today. Love out loud, and know that all boats rise on this holy tide of love. Thank you for joining us. Please go to jenniferhadley.com for more tools and practical loving support every day.